put you and Dan Revive on hold. We're going to Washington for White House spokesman Larry Speaks.
The president, in consultation with the leadership of Congress, has decided to postpone the State of the Union address that was scheduled for this evening. He will address the Congress and the American people on next Tuesday. The president, in addition, has asked the vice president to go immediately to Cape Canaveral's Kennedy Space Center, along with the acting NASA director, Bill Graham. The vice president will carry with him the president's personal concern for those courageous Americans who were aboard the space shuttle. In addition, the president will speak to the American people from the Oval Office later this evening regarding this tragedy. The president, since learning of the tragedy shortly before noon, has conferred with Don Regan, who in turn consulted with Speaker Tip O'Neill and Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole. They concurred in the president's decision to delay his State of the Union. A few moments ago, the president met in the Oval Office with NASA Director Graham and instructed him to fly to the Cape with the vice president to begin an effort to find out the cause of this tragedy. And then, the president said, to go forward with the nation's space program. The president said, and I quote, "These people were dedicated to the exploration of space. We could do no more to honor them, these courageous Americans, than to go forward with the program."
Can you tell us some of the reasoning in the decision to postpone, since, as you know, the president's first reaction was to go ahead with tonight's speech?
This is White House spokesman Larry Speaks.
The president, like all Americans, has seen this tragedy unfold on television and has felt keenly what those family members must have felt watching that shuttle go into the air at the Cape, first pride and then second horror. The president feels that these same emotions are being experienced by people all over this nation at this moment. And with the consultation of Congress that's taken place in the last hour or so, the president thought it was entirely appropriate that his State of the Union be deferred until and let him address the American people on what's happening here tonight.
Did Senator Graham tell him finally what happened? Does he have information, confirmation?
No. The NASA has issued a statement indicating simply that there was an explosion aboard the space shuttle shortly after it lifted off from the Cape this morning, and that a search and rescue mission is underway. That is continuing at this hour and will continue until all efforts to find out what the situation in there are exhausted.
Does the president believe...
Larry, is the president also going to cancel his State of the Union activities for the balance of the weekend? What time is the other mark?
The president will... This will, for the balance of the week, continue on his previously announced schedule, with the exception of those activities which were designed as a follow-up to the State of the Union. They will be rescheduled for next week. The time of the address to the nation has not been determined, pending definite word from NASA about the situation.
HHS, Treasury, and...
White House spokesman Larry Speaks announcing to the nation and to the Washington White House press corps that the State of the Union message by President Reagan, originally scheduled for tonight at 9, has now been canceled. It's been postponed until next Tuesday night. However, Mr. Reagan will address the nation from the Oval Office. The time of that statement has not yet been determined, according to Mr. Speaks. Earlier, the president said he would go ahead with that speech. All of this, the result of the tragedy today at Cape Canaveral. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploding into a gigantic fireball moments after it had lifted off from the launch pad, apparently killing all seven of the crew members aboard, including two women, Judith Resnick, and the first teacher in space, Krista McAuliffe. This has been CBS News special coverage of this tragedy. We'll continue throughout the day with more information from Christopher Glenn at Cape Canaveral and our CBS News correspondents around the world, bringing you the latest in reaction and the recovery effort. I'm Mitchell Krause, CBS News, New York.
1 minute before 2, stay tuned for continued coverage. This is WCBS New York. A Long Island teacher who had competed for a seat on the shuttle but lost is stunned by this tragedy. Ellen Mitchell reports for WCBS.
All those teachers who competed along with Krista McAuliffe to become the first teacher in space share the nation's shock and grief. But for those teachers who along with McAuliffe were finalists in that competition, it is an almost incomprehensible thing that has happened. Susan Agruzo, one of the finalists, is a teacher in East Islip. She says she was crying, but she could look ahead nonetheless.
We believe strongly enough in it and in the excitement of the exploration of space that sure we would. It's like anybody who travels in a plane or drives a car. It's a very tragic thing to have happened, but there's nothing we can do about that now.
No one ever even considered the danger of space flight when we all applied, said Agruzo. I'm Ellen Mitchell for WCBS News.
WCBS News time is 2 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards. The Space Shuttle Challenger had been in the air just over a minute when Mission Control reported a scene which eyewitnesses won't soon forget.
Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded and that impact in the water.
The Challenger is believed to have fallen into the Atlantic Ocean some 60 miles from Cape Canaveral. The fate of the 7-member crew, including New Hampshire schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe, is unknown. Among those eyewitnesses watching the ill-fated liftoff was Wendy Dickman.
About a minute into the launch, saw flames and spiraling smoke coming down, like fingers coming out of the sky, and we knew something was wrong. Ran in and put the radio on, and Mission Control had said that they had blown up. They weren't sure what had happened or anything. They'd lost control and everything. Everybody was just stunned, totally stunned.
NASA spokesman George Diller says the firing room at the Kennedy Space Center has been sealed. No one is being permitted to leave until everyone can be questioned. It will take weeks to go over all the data and voice recordings to determine just what happened to the shuttle Challenger. President Reagan has canceled tonight's scheduled State of the Union address because of the accident. He will make it 1 week from tonight, next Tuesday. The president was in a meeting with top aides when he learned of the disaster. Later, he said he couldn't rid himself of thoughts about the astronauts' families. He added, "I can't help but think what they must be going through." He did say he wants a complete investigation before any more space launches, and he will address the nation later tonight about this tragedy at a time to be set when later word comes from NASA. It is still not exactly clear what happened. The initial stages of the flight appeared normal, both to the eye and according to telemetry data. It appeared one of the booster rockets may have separated prematurely. Another possibility is that one of the main engines exploded. A key unknown was whether the orbiter itself stayed in one piece after the explosion. If it did, that would have helped the astronauts' chances of survival, but that at this point, it's feared that all 7 Americans were killed. Rescue efforts are underway. Correspondent Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Chris, bring us up to date. Give us whatever you have at this moment.
Well, Douglas, the rescue effort is still underway, but given the fact that there has been no new information from NASA on that rescue effort for about the past 45 minutes, it's sort of like confirming some worst fears. At any rate, there has been no word from them. They sighted a little bit of debris in the water, but no major pieces of wreckage, apparently. There was some chemical residue, and they don't know where those pieces came from. What we do know is that the explosion occurred as the Challenger was almost 10 and a half miles up in the air. It was traveling at that point at just about 2,000 miles an hour. The explosion occurred about 18 miles from land, but that great forward speed of the rocket assembly at that point carried most of the debris almost 60 miles downrange. It's deep water there, and of course it will be some time before they can get divers down and start making inspections of the ocean floor itself. Here at the Cape, of course, watching the flight, many hundreds of students and educators from across the country and the parents and the the immediate family of Krista McAuliffe, her attorney husband Steve, and their two children, Scott and 9, and Carolyn, 6 years old. Mr. and Mrs. Ed Corrigan of Framingham, Massachusetts, were McAuliffe's parents, and they were watching, and apparently, even though there was an announcement that the rocket had exploded, they were just standing there. They apparently didn't realize what was going on until a NASA official came up into the bleacher grandstands and told them, and at which point they appeared stunned and were quickly led away. That's the latest we have from here.
Now, it appeared that the main booster rocket exploded and took the orbiter with it. Is that not your latest word?
Yes. There's been some word recently about some slow-motion reviews of videotape of the explosion, and they say that it appeared that the mighty external fuel tank, which holds 500,000 gallons of highly volatile fuel, ruptured, this being after the initial explosion. And when it did so, it said that it appeared that the orbiter itself was just destroyed. It was broken into many pieces.
Nothing yet from the rescue ships.
Nothing yet, Douglas.
In Concord, New Hampshire, students at Krista McAuliffe's high school sat in stunned silence as they watched the disaster unfold on television. They were sent home about an hour ago, many wiping tears as they left. In Washington, Senator Jake Garn, who rode a shuttle mission last April himself, was especially moved.
Well, it's very difficult for me to talk about it because these were my friends. Mike Smith, the pilot, was my mother hen the first month that I trained. They assigned him to me, go to my classes and help brief me. And I don't know of any time that I have been more shocked or more moved than when my first wife was killed in an automobile accident. And so it's been very, very difficult for me this morning.
It's the first in-flight disaster in 56 manned American space missions. Three Apollo astronauts were killed in 1967. Now it's feared 7 more astronauts may have been killed, but again, their fate at this time is unknown. Douglas Edwards, CBS News. News report on the tragedy today at Cape Canaveral, Florida. The explosion that destroyed the space shuttle Challenger moments after liftoff, apparently killing all 7 crew members aboard, including schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe. The search is on in the Atlantic for the 7 crew members, or for debris, or for any sign of what may have happened. So far, the only report we have had from Cape Canaveral is that streaks of chemical and some debris have been sighted. But the explosion was so severe, so catastrophic, that it took some 45 minutes for all of the debris to stop falling from the sky. And this, of course, delayed the dispatch of the manned rescue effort, although Navy vessels were in the area and helicopters were on the scene almost immediately. It was at least 45 minutes before the final pieces of the huge spacecraft and the booster rockets had rained down from that gigantic explosion in the sky, some 2 minutes after liftoff at the Cape. The reaction in the nation, of course, has been one of traumatic shock. President Reagan has canceled his State of the Union message for this evening, postponing it for a week until next Tuesday. Although Mr. Reagan will address the nation sometime tonight from the Oval Office, we do not have a confirmation of the time of that address as yet. The president also told a group of reporters at the White House shortly after the tragedy that the space program would have to stop its launch schedule of the shuttle until a complete investigation was made. We are, of course, awaiting any further information we might have on the fate of the crew, but anyone who has seen the pictures, the televised pictures of what happened in the sky over Cape Canaveral, would have to question very seriously whether there was any possibility of any survivors. And the only merciful thing that might be said was that the speed and the catastrophic explosion made the end of the lives of those 7 brave people instantaneous. One of the people, of course, aboard that had galvanized the attention of the nation was the first citizen in space, a woman from New Hampshire, a housewife and mother, Krista McAuliffe. She had been chosen as the first teacher in the program, chosen from hundreds, if not thousands, of applicants for the honor of flying. And just yesterday and the day before, through the delays, she displayed a remarkable optimism and buoyancy about the prospects and said she wasn't nervous about the outcome.
It was late July, shortly after she was chosen for the mission, that she spoke about why she thought she was picked as America's first private citizen in space.
When I went down there, there were nine other excited, enthusiastic, good teachers who I felt could easily represent anybody on as a group on the shuttle, and I'm delighted. I'm delighted I'm here, but I really don't know what gave me that extra edge.
One thing that impressed the NASA people about Krista McAuliffe was her interest in diaries. She had planned to keep one on this flight.
Well, I teach a course called The American Woman, and it's a social history, and I'm very concerned that the ordinary person has been left out of the history books. So I felt that this would kind of connect history with the shuttle, which is normally thought of kind of as a space science type or high-tech project. It is our history, and everybody should be able to connect with that space age. So I was going to write now in my journal while I'm on board the shuttle, and then when I return, and hopefully give the students a picture of what an ordinary person's perspective is like when they're up in space.
Krista McAuliffe had special hopes for this morning.
Well, just the thought that I'm going to be part of history, I think, is the most exciting. As a historian, that's a very important part of my life. To be able to see the Earth from the new perspective of the shuttle, I teach history and we talk about international relations and we try to look at international boundaries, but we try to kind of foster that world community. Everybody is dependent on everybody else, and looking at the Earth from the shuttle, I think that's going to be very evident.
Krista McAuliffe in an interview conducted last July when she was chosen as the first private citizen in space. She, of course, was aboard the ill-fated Challenger this morning, along with six others. Francis Scobie, the commander, his second shuttle mission, 46 years old. Michael Smith, 40, of Beaufort, North Carolina. Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka of Hawaii. Gregory Jarvis, and Judith Resnick, the other woman on the flight today. We have Tom Fenton standing by now in London, and Tom, we know it's quite late at night there in the British capital. Perhaps the reaction would be coming a little bit beyond the end of the working day, but what have you heard in the British capital as a result of this disaster?
Mitchell, the British have been glued to television sets and radios all evening long, listening to blow-by-blow accounts, watching what seems like an endless repetition on television of those pictures of the shuttle exploding. The most characteristic comment I've heard from anyone watching these pictures is, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. Commentators on television and radio have been expressing shock and sadness. There are all sorts of speculation here as to what exactly went wrong. One leading commentator said he thought it would be a brave astronaut who went up again in a Challenger.
Tom, the British are not a direct participant in the American space program, although they are part of the European space effort. How do the British react to these programs in America? And you know, you're taking on a gigantic challenge in that country now. If that tunnel is ever built and human lives will be lost there, there's no lack of forward-looking daring on the other side of the Atlantic.
Well, the British follow the space program with immense interest, and I suspect a little envy, too. The British did quite a bit in the early days of space when it didn't cost much and dropped out of the space race a long time ago. They do, however, have an astronaut who is being prepared for a future program, and in fact, tomorrow, the British astronaut and his backup were planning to give a press conference tomorrow morning. I don't know yet whether that press conference will now take place.
Okay, Tom, well, thank you. We perhaps will be back to you. Of course, we'd be anxious to hear any reaction that the Prime Minister might have or anything from Buckingham Palace. But Tom Fenton in London, the third of our European reports, actually the fourth since this tragedy, we've heard from Rome, Paris, and Bonn. And now we're going back to the White House. White House spokesman Larry Speaks has just finished briefing reporters on the President's reaction and his plan to cancel the State of the Union. And I wonder, Gary, if you could bring us up to date.
Well, Mitchell, that's right. Larry Speaks did say that the president has decided to postpone his State of the Union address until next Tuesday. He has also asked Vice President Bush to go down to Cape Canaveral along with the acting NASA Administrator Bill Graham to carry the President's personal concern to the families and the NASA people who are down there. The President also will speak to the American people tonight from the Oval Office about this tragedy. We don't have a time yet on it, but it will be sometime later this evening, Speak said. The President had said earlier that he was going to go ahead. Only within the half hour before Mr. Speaks came out here and made the announcement, the President said he was going to go ahead with the address tonight, saying you can't stop governing because of a tragedy. But apparently, with speaking with the Majority Leader on the Hill, Robert Dole, in the Senate, and House Speaker Thomas O'Neill, and I would imagine Mrs. Reagan had something to do with this because she apparently saw the liftoff on television and said, oh my God, no, when she saw the explosion. I think all of those things perhaps changed the President's mind. Mr. Speaks said that the President initiated the change in the address time, but I'm sure there were other outside influences. Also, the President also told NASA Administrator Graham to find out the cause of the tragedy, but then to go forward with the space program. The President said the dedication that these astronauts had given to the program forced the United States to honor them in no other way than to have the space program go forward. And Mr. Speaks also said that the President saw the explosion, the liftoff and the explosion unfold on television and felt the pride and the horror that the nation did as a whole, he thought. And it was because of those things that he saw, plus, as I say, the input from the others, that he decided to cancel tonight's speech and put it off until next week.
Gary, I noticed that the Congress reacted immediately when they heard the news. They observed a moment of silence in the House and then adjourned for 2 hours and issued several statements, and many of the members said they were just appalled and horror-stricken by what had happened. Was there any indication of concern on the part of the White House as to the fate of the space program as a result of what happened today?
Well, as I say, Mitchell, the President told the NASA Administrator Graham to go down and find out what happened and then go forward with the program. That's sort of the indication that we've had here today all along, that that today's events will not deter the United States from pursuing its space program. And until we see otherwise or hear otherwise, I think that's what we're going to have to go with.
Okay, Gary Schuster, our White House correspondent. We'll be waiting to hear from you, Gary, as to the new time for the President's remarks tonight and how long they are expected to last. I suspect this will not have any impact on the progress of the legislative calendar, will it, the delay in the State of the Union?
I doubt it, Mitchell. It's the budget is supposed to come out this weekend, and Larry Speaks just told us that he thinks the budget will come out Wednesday, the State of the Union Tuesday, and things should go forward. What is interesting, of course, is the President was to send a legislative message to Congress tomorrow, really giving the specifics of his legislative agenda, because those were not going to be included in the State of the Union tonight. It was going to be a shorter speech. We'll see if that message goes forward as well. It almost is putting the cart before the horse in that sense, because then the speech would be following up with generalities about specifics that have already been delivered. But the White House is now working on fixing up its delivery of the legislative agenda and the speech. So we'll know more later on. This whole thing, of course, as you can well understand, has struck confusion into this operation.
Gary Schuster at the White House. As you heard, the President has now postponed his State of the Union message from tonight until next Tuesday, but will address the nation from the Oval Office sometime in the evening. Christopher Glenn is standing by at Cape Canaveral now, and of course down there the rescue effort is still underway and the questions are coming in very rapidly. Chris?
Some of those questions may be answered, Mitchell, in about an hour and 15 minutes. NASA plans to hold a news conference here at the Kennedy Space Center with Jess Moore, the Associate Administrator for Spaceflight, who was recently named the head of the Johnson Space Center in Houston. We don't know what they have to say at this point, but we'll certainly be following that. In the meantime, reporter Frank Motek of our Miami affiliate, WINZ, has been out and questioning some of the people who were here at the Cape as tourists to watch this launch, and Frank, what did they have to say?
Well, just as you and I saw, Chris, we were all shocked by it. They were shocked by it, and People were gathered at the visitor center here at the Kennedy Space Center today to see the launch. They gathered from all over the nation, and everyone was absolutely flabbergasted by what happened. The children especially expressed horror over what occurred, and we spoke with some of the people at that visitor center.
Well, we just saw the space ship go up, and you obviously knew something was wrong because it appeared as if it split apart in two pieces of fire, separating and going their own way.
What was your reaction when you saw that?
My knees started knocking, and I just felt ill in the stomach.
And where are you from?
Boston.
What is your name?
Teresa Tatro.
What did you see from the highway?
We saw the smoke going up with the fire right in front of it seemed, and then it broke off into two sections with a big ball of smoke in between, and then little trails of smoke like streamers going off to all different sides.
Chris, I can assure you, looking into the people's eyes and the children's eyes especially, all of them hoped to see what was a historic occasion, and later saw the fireball and the trails that we saw here at the CBS Bureau, and just utter horror, and many of them wiping tears away.
Okay, let us recap that at 3:30 Eastern Time this afternoon, about an hour and 10 minutes from now, NASA will hold a news conference here at the Cape with a high official presiding, and perhaps we will get some additional, more detailed information at that point. We do have the transcript of the last voice communications with the spacecraft. It goes something like this. Mission Control says, Challenger, your go at throttle up, and pilot Mike Smith said, Roger, go at throttle up, then the explosion. The Mission Control commentator, apparently not knowing what had happened, went on with some technical data about range and elevation, etc. Then a long silence, and then Mission Control simply comes back and says flight controllers are looking very carefully at the situation. The tragedy at that point already an accomplished fact. Mitchell.
Thank you, Christopher Glenn, in Cape Canaveral, Florida. We'll be back with you, of course, as the afternoon goes on, and we will broadcast live the NASA news conference, which is scheduled in about an hour from now on the stations of the CBS radio network. Many of them will be carrying that live. We hope then to obtain more information about the initial investigation that has been made of what may have caused the disaster today at the Cape, which destroyed the Challenger just 2 minutes after launch and resulted, we believe, at this point, tragically, in the death of all seven of the crew members aboard. This is the first fatal accident in the manned space program in the air. There have been 56 manned space missions. This was the 56th, and this was the one that brought tragedy and disaster. We have Wyatt Andrews, our correspondent in the Soviet capital of Moscow, on the line. We know that TASS has made a short announcement about this, but Wyatt, is there anything further, and do you expect that they will go further with their description of what happened in Cape Canaveral?
Mitchell, suspicions on that account are awfully tough to fake. As you probably know, it is now 10:22 at night in Moscow, and perhaps for that reason, as much as anything else, not for any lack of compassion, certainly there has been no official announcement from any Soviet officials, nor have there been any reaction from any of the cosmonauts or even former cosmonauts, even though we are trying to reach them. Again, it's just because that is because everything is pretty much officially shut down, and the accident happened after hours in Moscow. Having said that, as you pointed out, TASS did report, and with remarkable speed and with great accuracy, that the explosion had occurred. That TASS account coming about 30 minutes after the explosion of the space shuttle Challenger, and following that, about 2 hours later, both pictures and that TASS report were part of the Soviet nightly newscast. The only thing remarkable about that is that it came with remarkable speed. I should point out that in contrast, in past Soviet mishaps, both in 1967 and in 1971, reporting of those mishaps here, took a great deal of time. I certainly, in the aftermath of this, don't mean to imply any lack of compassion on the part of the Soviets, it probably reflects, given the passage of time and given that this is the 1980s, a more instantaneous response on the part of Soviet newscasters. This is not the kind of event, especially given the fact that the Soviets have a sizable space program, where we suspect any ideological reaction whatsoever, again pointing out that the TASS and nightly newscast reports in the Soviet Union have been very straightforward and very accurate and have been reported without comment.
White Andrews, we'll maybe back with you later on. If you have any further information, we'd certainly want to hear from you. We have retired General Chuck Yeager on the line with us now. Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier, and all of you may know of his career. He's talking with us from his home in Grass Valley, California. And, Mr. Yeager, what is your reaction to what happened today?
Well, my reaction is an unfortunate accident, but it's not the end of the space program, obviously. It'll be quite some time before NASA comes up with a finding as to the cause of the accident, and this is the way the system works in all accidents, whether it's a shuttle or a commercial airliner or a military airliner. They have to analyze all of the telemetry data and the information they have and find out the cause of the accident, fix it, and see that it doesn't happen again, and then press on.
I wonder if people understand the kind of danger, the kind of courage that is required for people like you and the space personnel, the astronauts, to get into a vehicle, whether it be a super speed plane.
Professional flyers or astronauts or the like that fool around with equipment such as this obviously are quite dedicated, and it's their job, and that's the way they look at it, and that's the way I looked at it when I was flying research airplanes. That's the reason they pay you money. It's no different from doing any other job. At least that's the way I looked at it.
You know, I suppose most Americans remember the portrayal of your exploits in The Right Stuff in the motion picture, and the great courage that it took both on your part and your compatriots who were flying in that other world of space. And I wonder if you had any final words about a moment like this, which appears as such a shock to all of us.
Yes, as I just mentioned, you look at it. Just a second.
Okay. Chuck Yeager at his home in California.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're breaking up a little bit, and I didn't hear the whole question, but it's basically what I said earlier, that number one, guys like who fly both the shuttle or airliners or military aircraft, they look to it as their job. And that's the only way I can explain it.
Chuck Yeager, who was the first man to break the sound barrier in experimental aircraft, and is one of the great pioneers of American aviation, commenting on today's tragedy at Cape Canaveral, the destruction by an explosion of undetermined origin as yet of the Challenger just 2 minutes after liftoff, a shower of debris hurtled into the Atlantic. The Holocaust undoubtedly destroyed all aboard that craft, although a rescue operation is still underway at Cape Canaveral. We have been hearing from correspondents of CBS News around the world, reporting on reactions, as you heard moments ago, from Moscow. The Soviet news agency TASS, with remarkable speed and accuracy, reported what happened at the Cape. There was also shock expressed at the European Space Agency in West Germany and in Italy, where the Italian space program has been a participant in the U.S. space effort, also in reports from Paris and from London. Of course, the tragedy is centered, too, on the people, certainly, who perished in today's disaster, and the one who captured the imagination of the American public, perhaps more than any other on this flight, was the first citizen in space, Krista McAuliffe, who was chosen from a large group of competitors last July to have that honor. And throughout the days just prior to the flight, and even during the three postponements before today's fatal and disastrous liftoff, had expressed great optimism, courage, enthusiasm, hope, anticipation, and was to have taught two lessons from space this week, lessons that were to have been televised, a unique and breakthrough kind of venture. That, of course, will never happen with this teacher, and the questions now arise, questions being asked in Washington and at the Cape as to the fate of the space program, though the president and everyone else says it will go forward. It has been under a very heavy schedule. 12 more space shuttle launches were due this year. Whether that schedule now has proven to be too much in retrospect, whether the delays or the pressures contributed in somewhat to this disaster today, will of course be the focus of the investigation upcoming. President Reagan's State of the Union message delayed for 1 week from tonight. However, he will speak to the nation in a while, and we will have the live coverage of NASA's news conference later. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
WCBS News time is 29 minutes after 2 o'clock. Well, as you have been hearing for the last couple of hours, it was just past 11:30, a minute and 12 seconds into the Space Shuttle Challenger flight when the spacecraft exploded. It appeared no one could have survived. On board, of course, schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe, the first private citizen to fly in space. And coming up, you'll be hearing from people on the streets of New York who just couldn't believe it. Fred Fishkin will have that story. We'll also have reports regarding this mission from Walt Wheeler and from Ellen Mitchell. Another local story today, Queensboro President Donald Manus is stepping aside temporarily. He signed a document which has designated his deputy as the acting borough president. He has also resigned as the Queens Democratic Party leader. Wall Street is up about 7.5 points, although, as you might imagine, the aerospace stocks are down. Our weather story, 23 degrees, humidity is 41%, clear, diminishing winds, still very cold, lows in the mid-teens in the cities, 0 to 10 above in most of the suburbs. Tomorrow, sunshine giving way to increasing cloudiness, chance of a period of light snow late in the day or tomorrow night, highs in the mid-20s. On Thursday, clearing and cold, highs 25 to 30 degrees, 23 right now at 2:30. I'm Ben Farnsworth. Space Shuttle Challenger exploded into a gigantic fireball 75 seconds after liftoff today, apparently killing all seven crew members, including schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe. Fragments of the $1.2 billion spacecraft, one of four in NASA's shuttle fleet, fell into the Atlantic Ocean 18 miles southeast of the Kennedy Space Center launch pad. There was no announcement of the fate of the crew, but it appears there was no way they could have survived. The explosion occurred as Challenger was 10.35 miles high, speeding toward orbit at almost 1,200 miles an hour. The shocking spectacle was witnessed by family and friends of the astronauts who gathered at Cape Canaveral, and by millions more around the country who viewed the launch on television. President Reagan postponed his State of the Union speech, which had been scheduled for tonight. Mr. Reagan told reporters at the White House, "It's a horrible thing all of us have witnessed." He said, "I can't rid myself of the thought of the sacrifice of the families who were there at the Cape watching this tragedy also." He said, "I can't help but think what they must be going through." The NASA administrator, William Graham, was meeting with congressmen on Capitol Hill about the NASA budget when they saw the disaster on television. Other crew members, Commander Francis Scobie, 46, the 40-year-old pilot, Michael Smith, 36-year-old Judith Resnick, 35-year-old Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka, 39, and 41-year-old Gregory Jarvis. It was the first in-flight disaster in 56 U.S. manned space missions. The explosion, a devastating setback for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration after successfully carrying out 24 shuttle missions. John Glenn, the former astronaut and the first American in orbit, said, "We have become accustomed to success. It has been an amazing success story so far." On the slow-motion video rerun of the explosion, it was difficult to determine the source of the explosion, but unmistakably, when a huge fuel tank with nearly a 500,000 gallons of a volatile propellant ruptured, it tore the Challenger into many pieces. After the explosion, the two solid-fuel booster rockets separated and continued to fly crazily out of control in a clear sky, trailing long tails of smoke before they plummeted into the seas, one of them seen floating down on its parachute. Television pictures of the impact area relayed from a helicopter showed no evidence of any large pieces floating in the water. NASA said the explosion occurred at a point when astronauts were beginning to throttle their engines up to maximum thrust after they throttled them down to 60% level at 35 seconds in order to reduce the forces of gravity during the liftoff. Among those who witnessed the explosion, Mrs. McAuliffe's attorney husband, Steve, and their two children, 9-year-old Scott, 6-year-old Caroline. They were in the crowd watching at Cape Canaveral. Also there, members of Scott's third-grade class from Concord, New Hampshire, displaying a large Go Krista banner. They watched in stunned silence as the spacecraft blew apart. Several began crying. Parents hugged others, and quickly they cleared them off the viewing bleachers and herded them to the buses. Also there, Mrs. McAuliffe's parents, Ed and Grace Corrigan of Framingham, Massachusetts. They stood silently during the launch, arm in arm, remained standing together as the loudspeaker brought the bad news, and a NASA official climbed a couple of rows into the bleachers, walked to them, and said, "The vehicle has exploded." A stunned Mrs. Corrigan looked back at him, repeated his words, "A vehicle has exploded." He nodded silently, and the Corrigans were quickly led away. The spouses of other astronauts were also there. No immediate reaction from any of them. All 1,200 students at McAuliffe's Concord High School were cheering the televised launch when a teacher yelled for them to be silent because something appeared to be wrong. As it became clear there was an explosion, stunned students murmured, "It can't be real. We can't be watching this." First Lady Nancy Reagan, watching the launch alone in family quarters, exclaimed, "Oh my God, no." The House of Representatives interrupted its session, and the chaplain delivered a prayer for the astronauts. The House then adjourned. The gleaming ship had risen spectacularly off the launch pad at 11:38. Here in the city, New Yorkers were also stunned by this tragedy in space, and Fred Fishkin has a report.
It's the kind of tragedy that became instantly etched on the faces of people as soon as they learned the news. On 45th Street in Manhattan, groups of people were huddled around the television sets in a Crazy Eddie's store watching in disbelief.
I saw it happen. I was casually looking over, and all of a sudden I saw this explosion. And it's unbelievable, and what I know, I don't think anybody got out alive. I never thought it could happen.
Rich Blauman of Long Island, who stood shoulder to shoulder with Jose Rodriguez of Staten Island.
I feel real bad about it. Really bad. Like, I thought of this kind of thing would never happen. There's 25 shuttle missions, and with this one, so many delays and postponements.
And then for it to have ended like this. Many found it hard to put their feelings into words, but then again, they really didn't have to. Fred Fishkin, WCBS News.
Mourning today on the part of a Long Island teacher who was in the competition to take part in the ill-fated Challenger flight. Ellen Mitchell has that story.
Susan Agruza was a physics teacher in East Islip. Beyond that, she was a finalist in the nationwide competition to select a teacher to go into space. Agruza says, when they all first applied, no one really even considered the dangers of a space mission.
No, we were never concerned about that. The safety record of the entire space program is outstanding. And it is just very, very unfortunate that this should happen. I feel very, very sorry for Krista's family and for her children. It's so incomprehensible to me that they were watching this morning and should see such a thing happen.
What words would she convey to them? There are none, said Agruzo tearfully. I'm Ellen Mitchell for WCBS News.
Senator Jake Garn, the Utah Republican, the first senator to fly on the shuttle, gathering his thoughts, and so was Congressman Bill Nelson, the last member of Congress to fly aboard the shuttle. We'll hear more from Walt Wheeler coming up in just a little bit. The president's State of the Union speech, scheduled for tonight, has been canceled. And the president will speak to the nation tonight, but exactly when that speech will take place, we do not know. Walt?
Well, some of the reactions, Larry speaks in talking about the decision to postpone the State of the Union and characterizing the emotions of those who'd watched the launch and explosion in a phrase that may go into history, first pride, then horror. The reactions as characterized by Larry speaks at the White House. NASA Communications' first word of the explosion, obviously we have a major problem. Senator John Glenn, the first American to fly in orbit, said, I guess we always knew there would be a day like this. A day like what? Well, CBS correspondent Bruce Hall at the Cape tells us that some observers, apparently not NASA personnel, who have viewed slow-motion videotapes of the disaster, said that the explosion aboard the Challenger appeared to begin in an area of the spacecraft assembly where the main liquid oxygen, liquid hydrogen fuel tank is connected to the solid fuel boosters, connected to one or the other of the two of those. Others, however, says Hall, think that the explosion began in one of the solid fuel tanks itself. According to Hall, those observers drew their conclusions from viewing slow-motion videotape. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather adds the idea that the area of the liquid fuel tank, described by some of Hall's observers, is the area of a seam which exists across the liquid fuel tank. The solid fuel rocket boosters are seamless, stainless steel, but there are seams in the liquid fuel tank. Also to note, the solid fuel is relatively stable. In fact, NASA says it's very resistant to explosive combustion. The solid fuel boosters are supposed to be propelled away from the main body of the launch vehicle after they're separated, which should have occurred a few moments after this explosion, by what NASA's documents call small rocket separation motors. And that's after the firing of some explosive bolts, which are triggered by an electrical charge. The solid fuel itself, a mixture of aluminum powder, aluminum perchlorate powder, which provides the oxygen, and a little bit of rust, not accidental rust, deliberately introduced to control the speed of burning. It has roughly the consistency of the rubber in a typewriter eraser. NASA has to use a small rocket motor to set that afire as the launch sequence begins. It is not stuff that is easy to make blow up. It's said to be insensitive to static, friction, or impact. Going back, though, to people who have looked at the slow motions, Senator Glenn said it appeared to him that one of the two solid boosters on either side of the main engine had a blowout at the case at the cockpit or the crew area of the shuttle. Stressing repeatedly, though, that he was only speculating, Glenn said the first point of light from the explosion that he could see in reviewing the slow motion videotapes appeared to be coming out of the solid on the booster. That sequence on the slow motion is somewhat hazy because of the distance, some 19 miles away from the cameras, so it is very difficult. Whether it ruptured or not, says Glenn, he really doesn't know. The boosters were developed by Norden Systems. That's a firm based in Norwalk, Connecticut, a subsidiary of United Technologies, which has its headquarters in Hartford. Both of those have been flown repeatedly and without incident. And in fact, after this explosion, they continued to fly or at least catapult through the air, perhaps out of control. One of them was seen deploying the parachute that's normally used to bring it back down so that it can be recovered. This disaster, and it is apparently that, although NASA still says that they are not going to make any statement on the fate of the crew until after the all of the search and rescue efforts are exhausted, is the first in-flight in a U.S. space mission in 56 of them in all. Three astronauts were killed, of course, back in 1967, 19 years and a day ago, in a launch pad explosion during the Apollo program. They were Virgil Gus Grissom, Roger Chaffee, and Edward White. 19 years ago yesterday, the 27th of January, 1967, Grissom, Chaffee, and White had been rehearsing for a launch of their Apollo spacecraft when a fire broke out in the spacecraft while they were still on the launch pad. All three were asphyxiated in the 5 minutes that it took rescuers to open the hatch from the outside. That launch pad, by all the way, no longer in use. It's dedicated instead to serve as a monument to participants in the space program. Today's launch was the first from the new pad, which is supposed to be able to speed up the launchings of shuttle missions. The president, of course, has said that there will be no further manned space launches until this one is entirely sorted out. Other fatalities in the space era have all involved Soviets. Soviet cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov was killed in the same year as Grissom, Chaffee, and White, March 23rd. That was a re-entry crash. And cosmonauts Georgi Dobrovolsky, Vladislav Volkov, and Viktor Patsayev died from depressurization of their Soyuz 11 capsule when it was re-entering back in 1971. That June accident ended a then-record-length space mission. They'd been hooked up with their space station for some 23 days before making the re-entry and died at that point during the re-entry. Up until this point, NASA had conducted 24 space shuttle missions in slightly less than 5 years without anything resembling a serious incident. The first space shuttle flight ended successfully on the 4th of July, 1982. That was an 8-day flight. Going back in space history, the first manned U.S. mission was May 5th, 1961, Alan Shepard and the Mercury spacecraft, which he called Freedom 7, a 15-minute suborbital flight, and then John Glenn's mission, February 20th, 1962, Friendship 7. He flew three orbits in a little under 5 hours before going on to the other space exploits for which he became famous. Neil Armstrong, the first moon landing, that a successful mission despite some of the difficulties that occurred on that in 1969. This tragedy, a number of people saying that it set us far, far back in our space mission. Clearly that remains to be seen because the NASA investigation is just obviously barely beginning. One of the key points, though, is going to be at what point that explosion appears on the slow motion. NASA has techniques for enhancing that video. There are others who have those techniques that will allow an even closer study of what exactly happened. But as of this point, it appears that all seven of the crew members aboard this Challenger mission are apparently lost. NASA, however, declining to confirm that, saying that they will withhold any announcement on that fact until all search and rescue efforts are out. The President's State of the Union postponed until next Tuesday. He will, however, at some point this evening address the nation on the subject of this catastrophe.
About every place in the world, as people not only see some of the taped replays of what happened, but as word spreads everywhere. On Wall Street, some of the aerospace stocks were also hurt. Morton Thiokol, they stopped trading on the stock. It's the stock that makes the propellant that is used in the space shuttle. And when it opened, it was down about 3 points. Some other stocks were down more than a point in the aerospace industry. WCBS News Time is 2:44. It's 23 degrees. The humidity is 41%. The wind is out of the west at 15, gusting to 22. And it'll be clear tonight. Diminishing winds, still very cold. Stories making headlines at a minute to three. A terrible, terrible tragedy for the American space program shortly after it took off from Cape Canaveral. The shuttle Challenger exploded in flames, fell into the Atlantic. Rescue crews are at the scene. There are believed to be no survivors. The crew of seven included the school teacher, Krista McAuliffe. President Reagan has postponed until next Tuesday evening his State of the Union address. He will address the nation tonight about the shuttle disaster, and WCBS will be broadcasting that speech. The president has directed Vice President Bush to fly to Cape Canaveral to head an investigation of the explosion. Among those who were shocked, the New Hampshire school students who Krista McAuliffe taught. Some were at the Kennedy Space Centers, others watched from the school in Concord. I'm Ben Farnsworth. CBS News covers the world at 3.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves. Ships and helicopters are still searching for debris from the shuttle Challenger, which blew up soon after launch at Cape Canaveral. Apparently all seven people on board, including teacher Krista McAuliffe, were killed. As a result of the tragedy, President Reagan has canceled the State of the Union message, which had been scheduled tonight. We have two reports. First, Christopher Glenn at the Cape.
The shock has not yet left the senses of anyone here who saw a shuttle Challenger explode in the air little more than a minute into its flight, and as yet little is known officially. The questions, though, are legion. Are the seven crew members dead? What caused the explosion? Did the numerous delays in the launch or the freezing weather in Florida have anything to do with it? And what happens to future launches? This was to have been NASA's most ambitious shuttle year. Perhaps some will be answered about a half hour from now when NASA officials here at the Cape will hold a news conference. In the meantime, there has been no word from the rescue teams out in the Atlantic that any debris has been recovered, and not the slightest sign that anyone survived. All the flight data has been impounded for study, and the plan is to bring as much as possible back to the Cape to try to piece the details of the greatest tragedy in spaceflight history together. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News, at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
This is Gary Schuster at the White House. White House spokesman Larry Speaks said President Reagan felt that because of today's tragedy, it was appropriate that he postpone his State of the Union address until next Tuesday. Instead, Mr. Reagan will speak to the American people about the explosion of the Challenger.
I think the president, like all Americans, has seen this tragedy unfold on television and has felt keenly what those family members must have felt watching that shuttle go into the air. At the Cape, first pride, and then second horror.
The president has asked Vice President George Bush to fly to Cape Canaveral Space Center to meet with the families of the astronauts. Mr. Reagan also indicated he wants the space program to continue. Speaks said Mr. Reagan feels that the nation could offer no greater tribute to the dedication of the Challenger astronauts than to keep the program going once the cause of today's tragedy is resolved. Gary Schuster, CBS News, the White House.
And that's a news conference scheduled a half hour from now. Will be broadcast over many of these stations. More after this. In Concord, New Hampshire, where Krista McAuliffe taught, cheered when the shuttle lifted off, then sat in stunned silence as the disaster unfolded on TV screens in front of them. Reporters were ordered out of the school. The students were sent back to their classrooms and later were sent home. Principal Charles Foley said there was not much left for them to do.
Pray. I don't know. We'll pull it together. We've done it before. It's not going to be easy, and that's for sure. We'll talk like we did before, and we'll discuss, and my staff, my terrific staff, will come together.
Washington, like the rest of the nation and the world, was shocked by the tragedy. Oregon Senator Bob Packwood said, "Every so often in the history of the world, great people give their lives to help the rest of us. That's what those in the space shuttle have done. We are all in their debt forever." Now this. Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 11.36. Recapping the shuttle story, the search continues in the Atlantic off Cape Canaveral for debris from the shuttle Challenger, which blew up late this morning soon after launch, apparently killing all seven people on board. President Reagan has canceled his State of the Union message tonight. Instead, we'll speak to the American people about today's tragedy. I'm Dick Reeves, CBS News.
And of course, we'll continue to follow that story throughout the day for you here at News Radio 88. We'll also be telling you more about the fate of Donald Manus. He has decided to step aside, at least temporarily.
Students in the classroom.
I did do a broadcast of the CBS News or whatever to the school, and everyone listened. It certainly had a sombering effect on the entire student body, because everybody knows that two of our kids are down there watching it, Jennifer Knapp and John Bonish, both 11th graders. Subsequent to that, I heard from the superintendent's office that, and from one of the staff members who was with the two students from McMahon at Cape Canaveral, and said the kids are obviously devastated, but all right.
Dr. Porcelina says the saddened group left Florida immediately for the return trip back to Connecticut. Fran Schneido for WCBS News.
Soviet Embassy expressed deep condolences and sympathy for the deaths of the seven astronauts killed. They called it an enormous, tragic explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger. According to spokesman Boris Malikov, 2 hours after the spaceship exploded, he said, "On behalf of the embassy, I express deep condolences and sympathy to the American people in connection with this enormous tragic accident involving the shuttle Challenger." Malikov said the statement was intended for the American people and family members particularly. Also, some reaction from people, Senator Jake Garn, who flew aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery 9 months ago, was moved to tears today at the news of the explosion of the shuttle Challenger. The Utah Republican described the seven astronauts as his friends and said, "I don't know any time that I've been so shocked and so moved since my first wife was killed in a car accident." With his Discovery crew insignia pinned to his lapel, Garn said while he was aware of the inherent danger of the shuttle launch, he and the crew of his flight never discussed it. He said, "You just always assume that everything would go right." He added, "I would go again." Garn referred to Mike Smith, the pilot of the downed shuttle, as my mother hen. He watched my first launch and said, "All of the others were people I knew, particularly Mike, I learned to love." Garn, who chairs the subcommittee that funds NASA, said today's disaster should not deter the space program, including the civilian in space program, in which Krista McAuliffe, the first teacher in space, was the initial participant. Garn expressed the utmost confidence in NASA and its training program and its ability to determine the cause of the accident before continuing the space program. More now about some of the people who were on this flight. The naval aviator Michael Smith, one of the most experienced pilots in the astronaut corps, logged more than 4,300 hours in 28 types of aircraft. He was the co-pilot of the Challenger flight that ended in flames. It was Smith's first shuttle flight. He was born in Beaufort, North Carolina in 1945, earned a Bachelor of Science degree from the Naval Academy in 67, and a Master's degree in Aeronautical Engineering from the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School in 68. He was married and the father of three children. He held the Navy Distinguished Flying Cross, three Air Medals, and the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry with Silver Star. He completed jet training in 1969 and was assigned to Advanced Jet Training Command, where he served as an instructor from 69 to 71. In 1974, he worked on the crew's missile guidance system at the Strike Aircraft Test Directorate, and that's in Patuxent River, Maryland. Before joining NASA as an astronaut in 1980, he completed two tours of duty in the Mediterranean Sea aboard the carrier USS Saratoga. Our weather story, 23 degrees, the humidity is 41%, the wind out of the west at 15, gusting to 22 miles an hour. The barometer is 29.72 and rising. Tonight, clear, diminishing winds, still very cold, lows in the mid-teens in the city, 0 to 10 above in most of the suburbs. Tomorrow, sunshine giving way to increasing cloudiness.